Chapter 8. A Place of Safety. While he was still coming through the door, Rand's eyes went to his father. His father, no matter what anyone said. Tamanap moved an inch. His eyes were still shut, and his breath came in labored gasps, low and rasping. The white-haired gleeman cut off a conversation with the mayor, who was bent over the bed again, tending Tam, and gave Moraine an uneasy look. The Aes Sedai ignored him. Indeed, she ignored everyone except for Tam, but at him she stared with an intent frown. Tom stuck his unlit pipe between his teeth, then snatched it out again and glowered at it. "Man cannot even smoke in peace," he muttered. "I'd better make sure some farmer doesn't steal my cloak to keep his cow warm. At least I can have my pipe out there." He hurried out of the room. Lan stared after him, his angular face as expressionless as a rock. "I do not like that man. There is something about him I don't trust. I did not see a hair of him last night."
"He was there," Bran said, watching Moraine uncertainly. "He must have been. His cloak did not get singed in front of the fireplace."
Rand did not care if the gleeman had spent the night hiding in the stable.
"My father," he said to Moraine pleadingly.
Bran opened his mouth, but before he could speak, Moraine said,
"Leave me with him, Master Alvear. There is nothing you can do here now, except get in my way."
For a minute, Bran hesitated, torn between dislike of being ordered about in his own inn and reluctance to disobey an Aes Sedai. Finally, he straightened up to clap Rand on the shoulder.
"Come along, boy. Let us leave Moraine Sedai to her, There's plenty you can give me a hand with downstairs. Before you know it, Tam will be shouting for his pipe and a mug of ale."
"Can I stay?"
Bran spoke to Moraine, though she did not really seem to be aware of anyone besides Tam. Bran's hand tightened, but Rand ignored him.
"Please, I'll keep out of your way. You won't even know I am here. He's my father,"
he added with a fierceness that startled him and widened the mayor's eyes in surprise. Rand hoped the others put it down to tiredness or the strain of dealing with an Aes Sedai.
"Yes, yes," Moraine said impatiently.
She had tossed her cloak and staff carelessly across the only chair in the room, and now she pushed up the sleeves of her gown, baring her arms to her elbows. Her attention never really left Tam, even while she spoke.
"Sit over there. And you too, Lan."
She gestured vaguely in the direction of a long bench against the wall. Her eyes traveled slowly from Tam's feet to his head, but Rand had the prickly feeling that she was looking beyond him in some fashion.
"You may talk if you wish," she went on absently, "but do it quietly. Now you go, Master Alvear. This is a sick room, not a gathering hall. See that I am not disturbed."
The mayor grumbled under his breath, though not loudly enough to catch her attention, of course, squeezed Rand's shoulder again, then obediently, if reluctantly, closed the door behind him. Muttering to herself, the Aes Sedai knelt beside the bed and rested her hands lightly on Tam's chest. She closed her eyes, and for a long time she neither moved nor made a sound. In the stories, Aes Sedai wonders were always accompanied by flashes and thunderclaps or other signs to indicate mighty works and great powers. The power, the one power, drawn from the true source that drove the wheel of time. That was not something Rand wanted to think about, the power involved with Tam, himself in the same room where the power might be used. In the same village was bad enough. For all he could tell, though, Moraine might just as well have gone to sleep. But he thought Tam's breathing sounded easier. She must be doing something. So intent was he that he jumped when Lan spoke softly.
"That is a fine weapon you wear. Is there by chance a heron on the blade as well?"
For a moment, Rand stared at the warder, not grasping what it was he was talking about. He had completely forgotten Tam's sword in the lather of dealing with an Aes Sedai. It did not seem so heavy anymore.
"Yes, there is. What is she doing?"
"I'd not have thought to find a heron-marked sword in a place like this," Lan said.
"It belongs to my father."
He glanced at Lan's sword, the hilt just visible at the edge of his cloak. The two swords did look a good deal alike, except that no herons showed on the warders. He swung his eyes back to the bed. Tam's breathing did sound easier. The rasp was gone. He was sure of it.
"He bought it a long time ago."
"Strange thing for a sheepherder to buy."
Rand spared a sidelong look for Lan. For a stranger to wonder about the sword was prying. For a warder to do it,
Still, he felt he had to say something. He never had any use for it that I know of. He said it had no use. Until last night, anyway. I didn't even know he had it till then.
He called it useless, did he? He must not always have thought so.
Lan touched the scabbard at Rand's waist briefly with one finger.
There are places where the heron is a symbol of the master swordsman. That blade must have traveled a strange road to end up with a sheepherder in the Two Rivers.
Rand ignored the unspoken question. Moraine still had not moved. Was the Aes Sedai doing anything?
He shivered and rubbed his arms, not sure he really wanted to know what she was doing. An Aes Sedai.
A question of his own popped into his head then, one he did not want to ask, one he needed an answer to.
The mayor.
He cleared his throat and took a deep breath.
The mayor said the only reason there's anything left at the village is because of you and her.
He made himself look at the warder.
If you had been told about a man in the woods, a man who made people afraid just by looking at them, would that have warned you? A man whose horse doesn't make any noise, and the wind doesn't touch his cloak? Would you have known what was going to happen? Could you and Moraine Sedai have stopped it if you'd known about him?
Not without half a dozen of my sisters, Moraine said, and Rand started. She still knelt by the bed, but she had taken her hands from Tam and half turned to face the two of them on the bench. Her voice never raised, but her eyes pinned Rand to the wall.
Had I known when I left Tar Valon that I would find Trollocs and Murdral here, I would have brought half a dozen of them, a dozen, if I had to drag them by the scruffs of their necks. By myself, a month's warning would have made little difference. Perhaps none. There is only so much one person can do, even calling on the One Power. And there were probably well over 100 Trollocs scattered around this district last night. An entire fist.
It would still have been good to know, Lan said sharply, the sharpness directed at Rand. When did you see him, exactly, and where?
That's of no consequence now, Moraine said.
I will not have the boy thinking he is to blame for something when he is not.
I am as much to blame. That accursed raven yesterday, the way it behaved, should have warned me. And you too, my old friend, her tongue clicked angrily. I was overconfident to the point of arrogance, sure that the Dark One's touch could not have spread so far, nor so heavily, not yet.
So sure. Rand blinked.
The raven? I don't understand.
Carrion eaters, Lan's mouth twisted in distaste. The Dark One's minions often find spies among creatures that feed on death. Ravens and crows, mainly. Rats in the cities, sometimes.
A quick shiver ran through Rand. Ravens and crows as spies of the Dark One? There were ravens and crows everywhere now.
The Dark One's touch, Moraine had said.
The Dark One was always there, he knew that. But if you tried to walk in the light, tried to live a good life, and did not name him, he could not harm you.
That was what everybody believed, what everybody learned with his mother's milk. But Moraine seemed to be saying...
His glance fell on Tam, and everything else was pushed right out of his head. His father's face was noticeably less flushed than it had been, and his breathing sounded almost normal. Rand would have leaped up if Lan had not caught his arm.
You've done it!
Moraine shook her head and sighed.
Not yet. I hope it is only not yet. Trolloc weapons are made at forges in the valley called Thakandar, on the very slopes of Shale Ghul itself. Some of them take a taint from that place, a stain of evil in the metal. Those tainted blades make wounds that will not heal unaided, or cause deadly fevers, strange sicknesses that medicines cannot touch. I have soothed your father's pain, but the mark, the taint, is still in him. Left alone, it will grow again and consume him.
But you won't leave it alone.
Rand's words were half plea, half command. He was shocked to realize he had spoken to an Aes Sedai like that, but she seemed not to notice his tone.
I will not, she agreed simply.
I am very tired, Rand, and I have had no chance to rest since last night. Ordinarily, it would not matter, but for this kind of hurt.
This, she took a small bundle of white silk from her pouch,
is an Angrial.
She saw his expression.
You know of Angrial, then?
Good. Unconsciously, he leaned back further away from her and what she held. A few stories mentioned Angrial, those relics of the Age of Legends that Aes Sedai used to perform their greatest wonders. He was startled to see her unwrap a smooth, ivory figurine, age-darkened to deep brown. No longer than her hand, it was a woman in flowing robes, with long hair falling about her shoulders. "We have lost the making of these," she said. "So much is lost, perhaps never to be found again. So few remain, the Amerlin seat almost did not allow me to take this one. It is well for Emmons Field and for your father that she did give her permission. But you must not hope too much. Now, even with it, I can do little more than I could have without it yesterday. And the taint is strong. It has had time to fester."
"You can help him," Rand said fervently. "I know you can."
Moraine smiled, a bare curving of her lips.
"We shall see."
Then she turned back to Tam. One hand she laid on his forehead. The other cupped the ivory figure. Eyes closed, her face took on a look of concentration. She scarcely seemed to breathe.
"That rider you spoke of," Lance said quietly, "the one who made you afraid. That was surely a Murdral."
"A Murdral?" Rand exclaimed. "But Fades are 20 feet tall and—"
The words faded away under the warder's mirthless grin.
"Sometimes, sheepherder, stories make things larger than truth. Believe me, the truth is big enough with a half-man. Half-man, lurk, fade, shadow man, the name depends on the land you're in, but they all mean Murdral. Fades are Trolloc spawn, throwbacks almost to the human stock the Dreadlords used to make the Trollocs. Almost. But if the human strain is made stronger, so is the taint that twists the Trollocs. Half-men have powers of a kind, the sort that stem from the Dark One. Only the weakest Aes Sedai would fail to be a match for a Fade, one against one. But many a good man and true has fallen to them. Since the wars that ended the Age of Legends, since the Forsaken were bound, they have been the brain that tells the Trolloc fists where to strike. In the days of the Trolloc Wars, half-men led the Trollocs in battle, under the Dreadlords."
"He scared me," Rand said faintly. "He just looked at me and—"
He shivered.
"No need for shame, sheepherder. They scare me, too. I've seen men who have been soldiers all their lives freeze like a bird facing a snake when they confronted a half-man. In the north, in the borderlands along the Great Blight, there is a saying. The look of the eyeless is fear."
"The eyeless?" Rand said, and Lan nodded.
"Murdral see like eagles in darkness or in light, but they have no eyes. I can think of few things more dangerous than facing a Murdral. Moraine Sedai and I both tried to kill the one that was here last night, and we failed every time. Half-men have the Dark One's own luck."
Rand swallowed.
"A Trolloc said the Murdral wanted to talk to me. I didn't know what it meant."
Lan's head jerked up. His eyes were blue stones.
"You talk to a Trolloc?"
"Not exactly," Rand stammered.
The warder's gaze held him like a trap.
"It talked to me. It said it wouldn't hurt me, that the Murdral wanted to talk to me. Then it tried to kill me."
He licked his lips and rubbed his hand along the knobby leather of the sword hilt. In short, choppy sentences, he explained about returning to the farmhouse.
"I killed it instead," he finished. "By accident, really. It jumped at me, and I had the sword in my hand."
Lan's face softened slightly, if rock could be said to soften.
"Even so, that is something to speak of, sheepherder. Until last night, there were few men south of the borderlands who could say they had seen a Trolloc, much less killed one."
"And fewer still who have slain a Trolloc alone and unaided," Moraine said wearily. "It is done, Rand. Lan, help me up."
The warder sprang to her side, but he was no quicker than Rand, darting to the bed. Tam's skin was cool to the touch, though his face had a pale, washed-out look, as if he had spent far too long out of the sun. His eyes were still closed, but he drew the deep breaths of normal sleep.
"He will be all right now?"
Rand asked anxiously.
"With rest, yes," Moraine said. A few weeks in bed, and he will be as good as ever.
She walked unsteadily, despite holding Lan's arm. He swept her cloak and staff from the chair cushion for her to sit, and she eased herself down with a sigh. With a slow care, she rewrapped the Angrial and returned it to her pouch. Rand's shoulders shook. He bit his lip to keep from laughing. At the same time, he had to scrub a hand across his eyes to clear away tears.
Thank you.
In the age of legends, Moraine went on, some Aes Sedai could fan life and health to flame if only the smallest spark remained. Those days are gone, though, perhaps forever. So much was lost. Not just the making of Angreal. So much that could be done which we dare not even dream of, if we remember it at all. There are far fewer of us now. Some talents are all but gone, and many that remain seem weaker. Now there must be both will and strength for the body to draw on, and even the strongest of us can do nothing in the way of healing. It is fortunate that your father is a strong man, both in body and spirit. As it is, he used up much of his strength in the fight for life. But all that is left now is for him to recuperate. That will take time, but the taint is gone.
I can never repay you, he told her without taking his eyes from Tam. But anything I can do for you, I will. Anything at all.
He remembered the talk of prices then, and his promise. Kneeling beside Tam, he meant it even more than before, but it still was not easy to look at her.
Anything. As long as it does not hurt the village or my friends.
Moraine raised a hand dismissively. If you think it is necessary. I would like to talk with you anyway. You will no doubt leave at the same time we do, and we can speak at length then.
Leave?
He exclaimed, scrambling to his feet.
Is it really that bad? Everyone looked to me as if they were ready to start rebuilding. We are pretty settled folk in the Two Rivers. Nobody ever leaves.
Rand.
And where would we go? Padan Fane said the weather is just as bad everywhere else. He was the peddler. The Trollocs.
Rand swallowed, wishing Tom Marilyn had not told him what Trollocs ate.
The best I can see to do is stay right here where we belong, in the Two Rivers, and put things back together. We have crops in the ground, and it has to warm enough for the shearing soon. I don't know who started this talk about leaving. One of the Complins, I'll bet, but whoever it was.
Sheepherder, Lan broke in. You talk when you should be listening.
He blinked at both of them. He had been half-babbling, he realized, and he had rambled on while she tried to talk. While an Aes Sedai tried to talk. He wondered what to say, how to apologize, but Moraine smiled while he was still thinking.
I understand how you feel, Rand, she said,
and he had the uncomfortable feeling that she really did.
Think no more of it.
Her mouth tightened, and she shook her head.
I have handled this badly, I see. I should have rested first, I suppose. It is you who will be leaving, Rand. You who must leave for the sake of your village.
Me?
He cleared his throat and tried again.
Me?
It sounded a little better this time.
Why do I have to go? I don't understand any of this. I don't want to go anywhere.
Moraine looked at Lan, and the warder unfolded his arms. He looked at Rand from under his leather headband, and Rand had the feeling of being weighed on invisible scales again.
Did you know, Lan said suddenly, that some homes were not attacked?
Half the village is in ashes, he protested,
but the warder waved it away.
Some houses were only torched to create confusion. The Trollocs ignored them afterwards, and the people who fled from them as well, unless they actually got in the way of the true attack. Most of the people who've come in from the outlying farms never saw a hair of a Trolloc, and that only at a distance. Most never knew there was any trouble until they saw the village.
I did hear about Darl Coplin, Rand said slowly. I suppose it just didn't sink in.
Two farms were attacked, Lan went on. Yours and one other. Because of Beltane, everyone who lived at the second farm was already in the village. Many people were saved because the Murdral was ignorant of Two Rivers' customs. Festival and Winter Night made its task all but impossible, but it did not know that.
Rand looked at Moraine, leaning back in the chair. But she said nothing, only watched him, a finger laid across her lips.
Our farm and who else's?
He asked finally.
The Ebara farm, Lan replied. Here in Emmons Field, they struck first at the forge and the blacksmith's house and Master Cawthon's house.
Rand's mouth was suddenly dry.
That's crazy,
he managed to get out, then jumped as Moraine straightened.
Not crazy, Rand, she said.
Purposeful. The Trollocs did not come to Emmons Field by happenstance, and they did not do what they did for the pleasure of killing and burning, however much that delighted them. They knew what, or rather who, they were after. The Trollocs came to kill or capture young men of a certain age who live near Emmons Field.
My age?
Rand's voice shook, and he did not care.
Light? Matt? What about Perrin?
Alive and well, Moraine assured him, if a trifle sooty.
Ban Craw and them Thane?
We're never in any danger, Lan said. At least, no more than anyone else.
But they saw the rider, the Fade, too, and they're the same age as I am.
Master Craw's house was not even damaged, Moraine said, and the miller and his family slept through half the attack before the noise woke them. Ban is 10 months older than you, and Lem 8 months younger.
She smiled dryly at his surprise.
I told you I asked questions, and I also said young men of a certain age. You and your two friends are within weeks of one another. It was you three the Murdral sought, and none others.
Rand shifted uneasily, wishing she would not look at him like that, as if her eyes could pierce his brain and read what lay in every corner of it.
What would they want with us? We're just farmers, shepherds.
That is a question that has no answer in the Two Rivers, Moraine said quietly. But the answer is important.
Trollocs, where they have not been seen in almost 2,000 years, tells us that much.
Lots of stories tell about Trolloc raids, Rand said stubbornly. We just never had one here before. Warders fight Trollocs all the time.
Lan snorted.
Boy, I expect to fight Trollocs along the Great Blight, but not here, nearly 600 leagues to the south. That was as hot a raid last night as I'd expect to see in Shinar, or any of the borderlands.
In one of you, Moraine said, or all three, there is something the Dark One fears.
That's impossible.
Rand stumbled to the window and stared out at the village, at the people working among the ruins.
I don't care what's happened. That is just impossible.
Something on the green caught his eye. He stared, then realized it was the blackened stump of the spring pole. A fine beltine with a peddler and a gleeman and strangers. He shivered and shook his head violently.
No, I'm a shepherd. The Dark One can't be interested in me.
It took a great deal of effort, Lan said grimly, to bring so many Trollocs so far without raising a hue and cry from the borderlands to Camelin and beyond. I wish I knew how they did it. Do you really believe they went to all that bother just to burn a few houses?
They will be back, Moraine added.
Rand had his mouth open to argue with Lan, but that brought him up short. He spun to face her.
Back? Can't you stop them? You did last night and you were surprised then. Now you know they are here.
Perhaps, Moraine replied. I could send to Tar Valon for some of my sisters. They might have time to make the journey before we need them. The Murdral knows I am here too, and it probably will not attack, not openly at least, lacking reinforcements. More Murdral and more Trollocs.
With enough Aes Sedai and enough warders, the Trollocs can be beaten off, though I cannot say how many battles it will take. A vision danced in his head of Emmons Field all in ashes, all the farms burned, and Watch Hill and Devon Ride and Tarin Ferry. All ashes and blood.
No,
he said, and felt a wrenching inside, as if he had lost his grip on something.
That's why I have to leave, isn't it? The Trollocs won't come back if I am not here.
A last trace of obstinacy made him add,
if they really are after me.
Moraine's eyebrows raised as if she were surprised that he was not convinced, but Lan said,
Are you willing to bet your village on it, sheepherder? Your whole two rivers?
Rand's stubbornness faded.
No,
he said again, and felt that emptiness inside again, too.
Perrin and Matt have to go too, don't they?
Leaving the two rivers, leaving his home and his father. At least Tam would get better. At least he would be able to hear him say all that on the quarry road had been nonsense.
We could go to Baerlon, I suppose, or even Camelon. I've heard there are more people in Camelon than in the whole two rivers. We'd be safe there.
He tried out a laugh that sounded hollow.
I used to daydream about seeing Camelon. I never thought it would come about like this.
There was a long silence, then Lan said,
I would not count on Camelon for safety. If the Murdral want you badly enough, they will find a way. Walls are a poor bar to a half-man, and you would be a fool not to believe they want you very badly indeed.
Rand thought his spirits had sunk as low as they possibly could, but at that they slid deeper.
There is a place of safety,
Moraine said softly, and Rand's ears pricked up to listen.
In Tar Valon, you would be among Aes Sedai and warders. Even during the Trolloc Wars, the forces of the Dark One feared to attack the Shining Walls. The one attempt was their greatest defeat until the very end. And Tar Valon holds all the knowledge we Aes Sedai have gathered since the time of madness. Some fragments even date from the Age of Legends. In Tar Valon, if anywhere, you will be able to learn why the Murdral want you, why the Father of Lies wants you. That I can promise.
A journey all the way to Tar Valon was almost beyond thinking. A journey to a place where he would be surrounded by Aes Sedai. Of course, Moraine had healed Tam, or it looked as if she had at least, but there were all those stories. It was uncomfortable enough to be in a room with one Aes Sedai, but to be in a city full of them? And she still had not demanded her price. There was always a price, so the stories said.
How long will my father sleep? He asked at last. I have to tell him. He shouldn't just wake and find me gone.
He thought he heard Lan give a sigh of relief. He looked at the water curiously, but Lan's face was as expressionless as ever.
It is unlikely he will wake before we depart, Moraine said. I mean to go soon after full dark. Even a single day of delay could be fatal. It will be best if you leave him a note. In the night?
Rand said doubtfully, and Lan nodded.
The half-men will discover we are gone soon enough. There is no need to make things any easier for it than we must.
Rand fussed with his father's blankets. It was a very long way to Tar Valon.
In that case, I had better go find Matt and Perrin. I will attend to that.
Moraine got to her feet briskly and donned her cloak with suddenly restored vigor. She put a hand on his shoulder, and he tried very hard not to flinch. She did not press hard, but it was an iron grip that held him as surely as a forked stick held a snake.
It will be best if we keep all of this just among us. Do you understand?
The same ones who put the dragon's fang on the inn door might make trouble if they knew.
I understand.
He drew a relieved breath when she took her hand away.
I will have Mistress Alvear bring you something to eat, she went on, just as if she had not noticed his reaction. Then you need to sleep. It will be a hard journey tonight, even if you are rested.
The door closed behind them, and Rand stood looking down at Tam. Looking at Tam, but seeing nothing. Not until that very minute had he realized that Emmonsfield was a part of him as much as he was a part of it. He realized it now because he knew that was what he had felt tearing loose. He was apart from the village now. The Shepherd of the Night wanted him. It was impossible. He was only a farmer. But the Trollocs had come, and Lan was right about one thing. He could not risk the village on the chance Moraine was wrong. He could not even tell anyone. The Coplins really would make trouble about something like that. He had to trust in Aes Sedai.
Don't wake him now,
Mistress Alvear said, as the mayor shut the door behind his wife and himself. The cloth-covered tray she carried gave off delicious, warm smells. She set it on the chest against the wall, then firmly moved Rand away from the bed.
Mistress Moraine told me what he needs, she said softly, and it does not include you falling on top of him from exhaustion. I have brought you a bite to eat. Don't let it get cold now.
I wish you wouldn't call her that, Bran said peevishly. Moraine said I is proper. She might get mad.
Mistress Alvear gave him a pat on the cheek.
You just leave me to worry about that. She and I had a long talk, and keep your voice down. If you wake Tam, you'll have to answer to me and Moraine Sadai.
She put an emphasis on Moraine's title that made Bran's insistence seem foolish.
The two of you keep out of my way.
With a fond smile for her husband, she turned to the bed and Tam. Master Alvear gave Rand a frustrated look.
She's an Aes Sedai. Half the women in the village act as if she sits in the women's circle, and the rest as if she were a Trolloc. Not a one of them seems to realize you have to be careful around Aes Sedai. The men may keep looking at her sideways, but at least they aren't doing anything that might provoke her.
Careful, Rand thought. It was not too late to start being careful.
Master Alvear, he said slowly, do you know how many farms were attacked?
Only two that I've heard of so far, including your place.
The mayor paused, frowning, then shrugged.
It doesn't seem enough with what happened here. I should be glad of it, but... Well, we'll probably hear of more before the day is out.
Rand sighed. No need to ask which farms.
Here in the village, did they... I mean, was there anything to show what they were after?
After, boy? I don't know that they were after anything, except maybe killing us all. It was just the way I said. The dogs barking, and Moraine Sedai and Lan running through the streets. Then somebody shouted that Master Luhan's house and the forge were on fire. Abu Cawthon's house flared up. Odd that, it's nearly in the middle of the village. Anyway, the next thing the Trollocs were all among us. No, I don't think they were after anything.
He gave an abrupt bark of a laugh and cut it short with a wary look at his wife. She did not look around from Tam.
To tell the truth, he went on more quietly, they seemed almost as confused as we were. I doubt they expected to find an Aes Sedai here, or a warder.
I suppose not, Rand said, grimacing.
If Moraine had told the truth about that, she probably had told the truth about the rest, too. For a moment, he thought about asking the mayor's advice, but Master Alvear obviously knew little more about Aes Sedai than anyone else in the village. Besides, he was reluctant to tell even the mayor what was going on, what Moraine said was going on. He was not sure he was more afraid of being laughed at or being believed. He rubbed a thumb against the hilt of Tam's sword. His father had been out into the world. He must know more about Aes Sedai than the mayor did. But if Tam really had been out of the Two Rivers, then maybe what he had said in the Westwood. He scrubbed both his hands through his hair, scattering that line of thought.
You need sleep, lad, the mayor said.
Yes, you do, Mistress Alvear added. You're almost falling down where you stand.
Rand blinked at her in surprise. He had not even realized she had left his father. He did need sleep. Just the thought set off a yawn.
You can take the bed in the next room, the mayor said. There's already a fire laid.
Rand looked at his father. Tam was still deep in sleep, and that made him yawn again.
I'd rather stay in here, if you don't mind, for when he wakes up.
Sickroom matters were in Mistress Alvear's province, and the mayor left it to her. She hesitated only a moment before nodding.
But you let him wake on his own. If you bother his sleep...
He tried to say he would do as she ordered, but the words got tangled in yet another yawn. She shook her head with a smile.
You will be asleep yourself in no time at all. If you must stay, curl up next to the fire, and drink a little of that beef broth before you doze off. I will, Rand said.
He would have agreed to anything that kept him in that room.
And I won't wake him.
See that you do not, Mistress Alvear told him firmly, but not in an unkindly way.
I'll bring you up a pillow and some blankets.
When the door finally closed behind them, Rand dragged the lone chair in the room over beside the bed and sat down where he could watch Tam. It was all very well for Mistress Alvear to talk about sleep. His jaws cracked as he stifled a yawn. But he could not sleep yet. Tam might wake at any time, and maybe only stay awake a short while. Rand had to be waiting when he did. He grimaced and twisted in the chair, absently shifting the sword hilt out of his ribs. He still felt awkward about telling anyone what Moraine had said, but this was Tam, after all. This was... Without realizing it, he set his jaw determinedly.
My father. I can tell my father anything.
He twisted a little more in the chair and put his head against the chair back. Tam was his father, and nobody could tell him what to say or not say to his father. He just had to stay awake until Tam woke up. He just had to...